wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Ready, we are back, and folks, you might remember a couple of years back here, there was, I believe it was Charlottesville, and was that, okay, I don't know, John, was that North or South Carolina, Charlottesville?
That's in North Carolina.
Yeah, where you had, they remember there was supposed to be this white supremacist rally, and we had, there were people there at this rally, and they called us, and they called me, and they said, I'm here now. And I'm telling you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing these so-called white supremacists, or what they were called Nazis. You know, they were coming out supposed to be Nazis. These were Azov. They were actually some of them. And they're getting off the very same bus as Antifa. They're getting off. They come in together. This was a whole staged thing. And you can bet the FBI was involved in staging that, too. And he was telling me, these guys are the same people. Well, they are. Antifa, okay, they're Nazis. Okay, Antifa, and so are, you know, of course, the Ukrainian Nazis. So we're going to listen to a clip, and this clip is by Laura Loomer. And she's going to tell you what we've been telling you about the Azov battalions there in the Ukraine. These folks, we told you this at the very start of the war. All of the fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, all try to block this out. They didn't want you to hear any of this. But go ahead, Laura, and bring Laura Loomer up. This was on the Stu Peters show.
So on this program, we've always done everything that we can to highlight how the federal government uses plants and informants to defame and sabotage America First movements. I mean, I think all of that is pretty obvious by now. Everybody knows that. On January 6th, they had agent provocateurs dotting the crowd, egging on more violent behavior, creating a scene when nothing else would have ever happened otherwise. But the Fed's efforts go well beyond January 6th. Yeah, anywhere that conservatives and America Firsters are trying to organize and take action, it's a sure thing that the Feds will be showing up to spy on them and to sow chaos. And at the same time that they sabotage America First causes by planting fake Nazis in the American right, the CIA is also supporting real Nazis abroad, while also encouraging their work right here in this country. It's a perfect double move. Kill Russians and start wars abroad, delegitimize the opposition at home. Laura Loomer recently revealed a huge breakthrough on this front. Recently on Twitter, she unmasked a certain figure called Boneface. He's a neo-Nazi. Boneface, whose real name is Kent McClellan, has actually been traveling back and forth between Ukraine and here as a member of that neo-Nazi Azov battalion. In 2012, Boneface was arrested for receiving training in domestic terrorism, but then went free, and he's continued to work with the Azov battalion. And as a video that Laura just released the other day shows, Boneface has been given special protections by federal law enforcement that local police are baffled by. Listen closely to this excerpt from a tape that Loomer just put online.
Terrorist organization number. Sure. Never seen that one before.
It
says a contact to screening center.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
You've
yeah.
never seen that before.
I've never seen it either.
Arms, dangerous, violence, and disease. That's it, man. You got Border Patrol cell number on this.
What's that?
You got Border Patrol cell number on this.
Really?
Are you from Ukraine?
Let's get back to you, sir.
So this Boneface goon has a criminal history going back a decade and a half at least, and he's jetting back and forth between here and Ukraine. Doesn't really make any sense given what we know of his history. I mean, we have people getting a decade in prison for walking aimlessly through the Capitol escorted by cops, and we let a neo-Nazi travel freely to a war zone and back? I mean, in fact, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever unless you assume that actually America's criticism of Azov is fake, and we've just been supporting and encouraging them all the way back to stoke a war with Russia. I mean, If you just assume that simple fact, everything that has happened with Boneface makes perfect sense. We want to hear more insight on that, of course. To that end, Laura Loomer joins us now. Laura, thank you so much for coming. I mean, this is a bombshell report and audio video that you released of this body cam footage. What does this say about our involvement in Ukraine and Ukraine's involvement here?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me, Stu. And you said it perfectly. It's quite alarming, you know, and it's proof that everything that the Democrats and everything that the Biden administration accuses Donald Trump and the right of doing is actually what they're guilty of doing. You know that Joe Biden actually launched his presidential campaign off of the Charlottesville lie, in which he said that Donald Trump is an ally to white supremacists and Nazis, and the left's favored lie of, oh, Donald Trump said that the Nazis at Charlottesville were very good people, when that's not what he said at all. And why do I bring Charlottesville up? Well, because if you go back to the time of Charlottesville, you'll see that even FBI documents revealed when people submitted FOIA requests that there were actual Ukrainian Nazis who participated in that rally. And I bring that up because this weekend in Orlando, Florida, I stumbled upon this Nazi rally in which this individual, Kent McClellan, who goes by the name Boneface, was in attendance. And they were waving swastika flags. They were shouting anti-Jewish slurs at me, Sieg Heiling, and shouting white power in my face, calling me all types of disgusting names. And while he was participating in that Nazi rally, he was chanting Slava Ukraine, and he had a Ukrainian accent. And so I took some photos and videos of him, and turns out, looking him up, he has tattoos all over his face, he's pretty, identifiable. He was actually arrested by the FBI in the state of Florida on charges of domestic terrorism for trying to do paramilitary training with American Nazi white supremacist movements. And this is a story that you can find. It was printed by all the mainstream media in 2012. And you would expect somebody to serve a lot of prison time if they were arrested for terrorist activity and declared a domestic terrorist. You also cannot get on the fly list to travel outside of the United States of America if you are arrested or charged with domestic terrorism. And so we know that this individual, as I have reported in my exclusive report, was recruited by the CIA to join and participate in Nazi militia movements with the group Right Sector that was propped up by the CIA in 2014 for the Ukrainian Color Revolution. And then in 2022, around that time, he also is documented having been in Ukraine and has said that he participated in activities with the Azov Battalion. And what's interesting about this is that, he posts about this on his social media. And I actually was able to find an old interview that he did where he admits to working with the CIA. And I was able to investigate Boneface, and I uncovered images that show that he has a Azov Battalion badge. And he was also awarded a medal from our United States government upon his return from Ukraine for his services. And so not only is the United States government weaponizing violent felons and domestic terrorist Nazis, everything that they're saying is, the biggest threat in our country, they're sending them overseas to fight alongside Nazis and participate in war crimes on our taxpayer dime. And so this is concerning because we have sent over $200 billion of our taxpayer money to fund the efforts in Ukraine. And they constantly talk about exporting democracy, but all we're doing is exporting Nazism.
Yeah.
And
we've talked, and this is really important what you're saying, because we've talked on this program before about 2014. And you mentioned 2014, our CIA recruited him to go over to Ukraine for a color revolution. And we talk about a democratically elected administration that was overthrown in Ukraine, allegedly at the hands of our CIA, with a violent insurrection that they then employed our media to make look like some popular BLM-style uprising. And so this guy was helping the CIA to practice all of the same tactics in Ukraine in 2014, civil unrest, rioting, yes, burning, violence, looting, election theft, regime change, that the, yes, CIA then implemented here in November of 2020 and again on January 6th.
Yes. And another story that I broke this weekend, you know, connecting all these dots, when I released this information about this, this Nazi, this American Nazi who was actually given Ukrainian citizenship mm-hmm. after he went to Ukraine to fight with these Nazis in the Azov Battalion, I was approached by Jacob Chansley, who has been referred to as the QAnon shaman. He's probably the most famous January 6th defendant out of all of the January 6ers because of the imagery of the Viking horns inside the Capitol. And Jacob Chansley is out on probation right now, and he contacted me and said, wow, you know, this is really crazy. This is, you know, like color revolution, like you said, like you're pointing out. And I said, yes, it is. And he goes, you know, nobody's ever published this, but I want to tell you something. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, during my interview with the FBI, when I was arrested, they asked me if I knew a Ukrainian spy, and they showed me a photo. And it's a photo of a Ukrainian spy operative by the name of Sergei Dubinin, who was photographed at the Capitol with Jacob Chansley. And Jacob said that the guy approached him and asked to take a photo with him. And he said he didn't know who he was, but that the FBI confirmed to him during this interrogation that it was a Ukrainian spy. And they kept on pressing him, thinking that he was some part of a Ukrainian intelligence operation. And so I released this information this weekend, and then Newsweek ends up contacting the FBI, to which the FBI says they're not going to, well, they didn't really address it. They didn't even release a statement. They didn't confirm or deny it. But the fact of the matter is we have January 6ers who were just sentenced to decades in prison. Enrique Tarrio, who wasn't even at the Capitol, he's the head of the Proud Boys, was just sentenced to 22 years in prison yesterday, and he wasn't there. But we have the FBI hiding from the American public that Ukrainian spy operatives who work for, they disguise themselves as operators of a camera for a TV station that is really a front as a Ukrainian spy operation. It's 1+1 TV, and it's also tied to a Ukrainian oligarch who happens to be one of the largest stakeholders in Burisma. You see how this is all coming full circle? What do we know about Burisma? Their ties to Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. They penetrated the United States Capitol with cameras. So what did they take? What did they record? Did they record classified information on their cameras? Is this the reason why they haven't released the January 6th tapes, even though people like Kevin McCarthy and Marjorie Taylor Greene have continued to lie and say that these tapes were released when they never were? Is it because our government doesn't want us knowing that actual Ukrainian spies penetrated the Capitol and Ukraine thus committed an act of war against the United States of America by sending foreign spies to penetrate the most secure building where our political affairs takes place in this country outside of the White House? This is an act of war, and the Biden administration has rewarded these Ukrainian operatives by sending $200 billion, and they are participating in color revolution tactics. And I wouldn't even be surprised if our own government knew about this ahead of time, because they have concealed it. They have never informed the public that our Capitol was penetrated by Ukrainian spies until I released this information. People had documented individuals who they actually falsely cataloged, as Russian, because Ukrainian and Russian sound so similar that, you know, there have been some reports about, oh, Ukrainian or Russian individuals. And disinformation agents said that Sergei Dubinin was a Russian when he's actually Ukrainian, in an effort to smear the Russians and make it look like the Russians were working with Trump supporters on January 6th to instigate violence, when really these are Ukrainian spies and operatives who have arrest warrants out for them in Ukraine. And so this is a major scandal, and it shows that the United States government is not only concealing the fact that there are neo-Nazi spies operating on U.S. soil, but they are actually helping them recruit and funding them to go overseas and participate in war crimes against the Russians.
So while they're saying that Ukrainian spies are indeed Russians, and while they're saying in the same tone that Vladimir Putin is a war criminal, it turns out that the real spies are from Ukraine and the real war criminals are in the corporate crime syndicate
and
known
they also
as
say
the
that
U.S. government.
They also said that Vladimir Putin was mentally ill and that he had a brain tumor and that he was losing his mind, because he said that the United States government and the CIA was actually trying to Nazify Ukraine. And he said that he was trying to denazify it and get rid of the Nazi-controlled biolabs. Remember this? And then the United States official said that, oh, well, he's sick and he may have cancer and he may have a brain tumor, which is why he's acting irrational. Well, it turns out Vladimir Putin was right after all, right? They are trying to Nazify Ukraine, and he was trying to denazify Ukraine. These people are Nazis, and they are, after all, backed by the FBI and the CIA and our DOD, because this guy clearly has, he should be behind, a prison cell right now, this domestic terrorist who is actually going to be arraigned tomorrow. Check this out. I was looking at his court documents, and he has an arraignment in Volusia County tomorrow at the DeLand Courthouse at 1:30 p.m., this bone-faced character, for home invasion, burglary, and battery, domestic violence. And so how is it that a violent felon on domestic violence charges who also got caught trafficking methamphetamines is not in prison even after he beat the living crap out of a woman and then travels abroad? How do you travel abroad as a domestic terrorist? I mean, they put January 6th defendants on the no-fly list. Roger Stone, when he was under investigation, couldn't even leave the country, and he still can't leave the country because our State Department will not give him a passport. So I would love to know, you know, how they're going to justify saying that Trump supporters deserve to be locked up for decades, but they're actually allowing for hardcore Nazis, not fake Nazis like these Proud Boys who they say are Nazis and white supremacists when they're not. You know, Enrique Tarrio is half black, but actual hardcore tatted, you know, SS swastika flag waving Nazis who are doing, you know, Sieg Heil Hitler salutes in my face, screaming white power and calling me, you know, a K-I-K-E.
And not only are they traveling abroad, this bone face, but traveling in and out of an active war zone, allegedly, a country allegedly at war.
And staging rallies on major overpasses that could cause accidents. I mean, if you're going to have a rally like that.
And penetrating the Capitol on January 6th. And the list goes on and on. And the Victoria Nuland State Department confirmed 36 bioweapons labs funded by the U.S. taxpayer. All of the bodies are buried in Ukraine. And yes, it all
and
ties
Victoria
back to
Nuland,
Burisma.
I brought up Victoria Nuland, too, in this investigation, because Victoria Nuland, who works in the State Department and worked under the department in the Obama administration with Biden as well, she went to Ukraine to help facilitate this color revolution in 2014. And so, you know, it's all the same individuals involved here, and everything, whether it's Charlottesville, whether it's the J6 protest, the first impeachment of President Trump, or these Nazi rallies that they're popping up across the country in an election year, it's all tying back to Ukraine. And it's looking like the CIA and the FBI and our government are funding is funding an actual color revolution and regime change. I mean, they carried out a coup against a sitting United States president. We already know that. They completely manufactured the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, okay, with foreign intelligence and phony foreign intelligence. Nobody went to jail. Nobody was held accountable. And then now they're using these Ukrainian spies to create conflict and spread lies of white supremacy and domestic terrorism and pin it on Trump supporters when these are Democrat operatives.
I got to get to break. This is a bombshell find and excellent journalism. This is why people follow you on Twitter, and you should if you don't.
All right, we're coming back. So we better have McTernan comment on all that. I mean, he just got a whole lot of information there, and we can't just leave him with it. So what do you think, Big John?
Pastor Ernie, this is absolutely. Let's put it this way. It's not new, but she's put it all together in a very clear way. And our government, every which way we look at it, Pastor Ernie, is now our enemy. Or we are their enemy, either way you want to look at it.
Should Laura Loomer watch her back big time?
Absolutely. Her and Tucker Carlson. You know, Pastor Ernie, with President Trump, if you look going back to 2015, when he threw his hat in the ring there for the president, they've been after him since then, and they've escalated it and escalated it and escalated it. And now they've got him indicted. I don't know, was there four indictments? If they can't put him in jail or stop him, the next level, Pastor Ernie, is, we've had presidents assassinated in the past.
Yeah,
I would not put it past these people, Pastor.
Well, everybody's expecting that. Everybody's waiting for that because, again, this is a coup. This is a coup by traitors. We have Merrick Garland, Chris Wray, these people, the whole deep state, they're all involved. This is an actual coup like they've done in third world countries right now. And Joe Biden is weaponized the agencies, the government agencies, even the military, against the people. Okay, and here again, you're right. We could he is running, trying to
as I see him, Pastor Ernie, he's a true patriot, President Trump.
Oh, absolutely, he is. Absolutely, he is. Okay.
And interesting, Biden, I guess it was yesterday, he came out, and Texas in particular is sending a lot of the illegal immigrants to New York, Philadelphia, Washington, Los Angeles. And all these liberal, hardcore, leftist cities are screaming because they can't take anymore. So what he wants to do, and this has got a big uproar here in Texas, he wants to block, he wants all the illegal immigrants to come into Texas and be blocked where they can't leave. So he wants to make Texas, you know, just swamped with illegal aliens. He just said it, he actually said it yesterday.
Yeah. So what do you think your governor is going to do? How did your governor respond?
He responded right away. He responded right away. This is the type of thing, how much of this, something, Pastor Ernie, could trigger, it's volatile now. When we see what they are, what they're doing, they could do something that could really trigger a general uprising against them.
Well, I think that's what they're going to do. I think, you know, Biden knows that he's got the Mexican drug cartel, which a lot of them are here now. A lot of them he brought in. He brought in, 45,000 Chinese nationals? These are soldiers, okay? These are plainclothes soldiers coming in here. Biden brought all these people in. Biden should be tried for war crimes. This guy is, what he's doing to America here. And so here, and we can expect right now, let me give you an example. A rhino is a Democrat who pretends to be a Republican, and in Colorado, a coalition of six rhinos and unaffiliated Colorado voters, including former state and federal officials, filed a lawsuit Wednesday seeking to disqualify the legitimate president of the United States, President Donald Trump, from appearing on the state's 2024 presidential ballot. The plaintiff was represented by Rhinos for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Ethics, my gosh. A nonprofit watchdog organization. These are communists to the bone. These are communist traitors to the bone. Alongside law firms, Tyranny, boy, that's a good name for him, Tyranny, okay. Lawrence Seitz, KBN Law, LCC, and Olson, Grimsky, Kawanabe, Hickoff, and Murray. These are all communists. These are antichrist. These are traitorous, treasonous. Do you know where the word Tories come from? Tories, they were the traitors during the War for Revolution. You had the Patriots and you had the Tories. The Tories ones that sided with England. And Tories was just short for traitor Tories, that the real name was traitor Tories. The plaintiffs are Norma Anderson, traitor Tory Michelle Priola, traitor Tory Claudine Samarata, traitor Tory Krista Kafer. These are all female traitors. And traitor Tory Kathy Wright and Christopher Castellan. Those are the traitor Tories that are trying to keep President Trump off the ballot, and the legitimate president of the United States. There you go. And so,
well, Pastor Ernie, all these indictments, they haven't indicted him for anything identified as treason. Where are they getting this from?
Again, you're talking, remember, you always accuse your opposition of doing what you're doing. They haven't indicted him, but they've accused him. They've accused him of insurrection, but they haven't indicted him, because what happens? You have to produce evidence then, right?
Exactly right.
Okay, they have no evidence. There is no evidence.
Everything. Just by accusing him just by the accusation is enough now to say he's they want him to be he can't run because he's a traitor because you say he is.
Right. The political whores accuse him, and then the media whores, you know, they jump on it and they go after him. That's exactly what we're seeing happening. The problem they're having is too many people know better. Just too many people.
That's the problem, Pastor Ernie.
That's the problem. What they call mainstream media has lost all credibility. It's got no credibility anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, but Pastor Ernie, this trial in Atlanta with him and the election of 2020 in a RICO case, they have to prove that he knew he was lying when he said it was fraudulent. That's part of what they're going to have to do, that he knew it was fraud, what he was saying. But here's the thing. How are they going to stop him from producing all the evidence of the election being stolen in Georgia? I guess they're just going to have to say you can't produce any evidence to defend yourself because there's so much out there, Pastor Ernie. They can produce hundreds of witnesses proving that the election was stolen.
Well, what they've got to do, the opposition, the defense, they've got to file charges against Big Fanny and these people that are filing the charges against Trump because they have actually committed the very crimes that they're committing.
They did, but when they go to trial, they're going to have to prove Trump knew he was lying, and then Trump has the ability to defend himself, and he can call, dozens and dozens and dozens of witnesses and videos and affidavits and everything like that showing that it was fraudulent.
Now here's the ironic thing.
They have to block him. They have to block him from being able to defend himself.
Here's the ironic thing. Trump's lawyers are saying when this happens, their best witness for the defense is going to be Mike Pence. Even though Mike Pence has turned on Trump, when he's put under oath, if they subpoena him, put under oath, he's going to have to tell the truth.
I don't think he would.
And I've already heard him. Look, I've already heard him come out and admit that he had the authority to not certify that election. He had the authority to not certify it. I've heard him say it. In fact, he said that if I had not certified that, it would have gone to the Congress. That was the procedure. That was the regular procedure. And there would have been chaos if I had not. In other words, he admitted he had the authority to do the right thing. His job was to, if there was evidence that were being produced, that in fact there was election fraud, his job was to examine the evidence before he certified the election. He failed to do that. I remember, too, hearing him say when they passed that same-sex marriage in his state when he was governor, I remember he said, I will not sign that. I will never sign that. They pressured him and he signed it. He gave in right away.
His word is worthless.
Yep. So, there you go. You have an article there.
Yeah, Ron? This goes back to the...
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, there's a very interesting article. It just came out about Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, yeah?
And
Hold on to that because we're right up against the break. We'll pick it up right on the other side of this break.
Okay.
So we'll be back right after this with more.
Big John. Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion. He knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now, 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him, it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion, heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now, John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now, in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big
Baptist
John.
Big Baptist John.
All righty, we are back. And we got to tell you this, what's coming up, folks. And we need you to be ready to run to the battle. Listen, November 7th. Let me tell you what happened here in Ohio. We let God down on August 8th. We really, really let the Lord down, okay, folks. People got confused. They weren't smart. They didn't listen and pay close attention. And we tried and we tried and we tried to explain to you about issue one. Well, you were snookered by the opposition. You thought you were voting for pro-life and you were voting for the pro-death. Now, coming up, and it's going to be on November 7th, issue one and two. You need to vote no. Listen to me. No, no, no on issue one and two. They call it the Women's Reproductive Rights Act. First of all, Reproductive Freedom Act, okay? Let me ask you this. How can they say that? They don't even know what a woman is. So how can they say that, right?
And the word woman is not even in the bill.
Okay, it's not even in the bill.
Not even in the bill, nope.
Well, let me tell you what is. Their message is totally misleading. They say that every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions. Okay, now listen. Every individual, does that mean, what does that mean? That means 9 years old,
down
right?
All the way down to 1 year, I would think.
That's right. See, folks, that means that includes minors without any parental consent. Yeah. Do you understand what they're doing here? That means that somebody at the school, one of those communist teachers could put a kid in a car, take it to one of these, to abortion mill, and your grandchild could be killed without your permission. Yep. Then when your daughter gets injured, they bring her and dump her back on you. And then on top of that, not only that, but they can bring them to these perverts that are mutilating these children, calling it trans surgery. It's yep. mutilation, okay? And so here it says this. The state shall not directly or indirectly burden, penalize, or prohibit, or interfere with. Do you understand what that means, John?
Yeah, it hamstrings the state that it cannot come to the defense of women and children.
That are injured, huh?
Yeah, right. Licensing.
Now, right. These are very specific legal terms interpreted by the courts nationwide to strike down parental and notification and any parental consent laws at all. Here's what this is legislation from hell. Folks, let me explain something to you. The people that are pushing this, $50 million worth of dark money coming from out of state of Ohio going to TV ads. Try to explain, understand what I'm trying to tell you. These are the same people that are behind the child sex trafficking. Everything that's vile, everything that's sinful, everything that's evil, these are the same people. When you see these people out there with a sign that says vote yes, you know who who's behind that. You know who these people are out there. Okay, so when it says an individual voluntary exercise of this right, this includes, again, unregulated abortion. Now, you know what that means?
All the way up to birth.
Well, no, not only that, but it doesn't mean you have to have a, you know, it means you don't even have to be a licensed abortionist.
Yep.
You don't have to be. I mean, you could get into the abortion business if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And start, okay, folks, I'm telling you, you better listen to us. The state will not interfere with a person or entity that assists an individual exercising this right. So in other words, you can go ahead and you can be the abortionist if you want.
Yeah, if it was just for women's health, it would say a woman or an individual. But when they say entity, that means Planned Parenthood or any group. All of a sudden, they're basically not liable for their actions.
All right, then it goes on to say the right to reproductive freedom with protections. Now listen, with protections for health and safety. The protections, folks, I tell you, it's not for the individual, okay? The protections are for those that are committing these crimes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It eliminates existing, this is what does, all existing protections. What this, I just read you, will eliminate existing protections for health and safety. It allows for painful late-term abortions up until the very moment of birth and after, and guess what? It allows for your children to be mutilated without even your knowledge, your boys to be castrated, your girls to have their breasts cut off, and who knows what else, okay? So I'm trying to explain to you. I'm trying to tell you again, you know, we did everything we could, but you failed. Listen, if somebody in our church was to come up and say they voted yes this November 7th, you know what we would do? I would tell them that they need to go before our congregation and repent and admit what they have sinned against God and country and the church. And if they failed to do that, they would be disfellowshipped. They would be have no fellowship with anybody in the church. We're not talking about a political issue. We're talking about a moral and sin issue, folks. What we're talking about is obedience versus disobedience to God. I'm trying to tell you, you people in Ohio, you've got to wake up. You've got to wake up because once this is passed, it's going to eliminate all of the pro-life legislation we passed. It's going to eliminate all parental rights, okay? It's a horrible, horrible, it's sin legislations from the pit of hell. John, go ahead. You said you had that article?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, this is very interesting about Jeffrey Epstein. This just came out today. And here's the headline, Untouchable Pedo Empire. J.P. Morgan Chase flagged over $1 billion in suspicious Jeffrey Epstein transfers. U.S. government did nothing. $1 billion, Pastor Ernie. What, you know, from what was this man doing besides, you know, the child trafficking and all of that? But, I mean, how could you justify $1 billion? And the IRS didn't know this? Of course they knew it. The bank reported it. So the next step is they're supposed to reveal who the big donors were, where Epstein was getting this $1 billion. The court is supposed to, they're in the process of revealing this. $1 billion, Pastor Ernie. That's staggering for this, you know, he has no legitimate cover for that, so he's child trafficking. That's where he got $1 billion.
Mike Gill actually already brought that out, and we talked about that. It's called the Pandora Papers, And Mike Gill, what he did, Mike Gill was the billionaire that hired to put together an elite team of investigators to find out where what was happening to the children, where they were going, the child sex. And here he found out, and they came back to him, and he was involved with Governor Sununu. And what's her name? Sheehan, who was Senator Sheehan's husband. And they documented where they followed it, and they had all the names, and in that Pandora Papers, it's got the names of the heads. Remember all of this money, okay? The Clinton Foundation. We just read this article on the Clinton Foundation. They brought in $700 and something billion. Do you have that there? Is that not? Okay? $700 and something billion they raised. Only 3% of what they raised actually went to charity. The Clinton Foundation. So what can you do with over $700 billion? I'm not talking million. I'm talking a billion. And in the Pandora box, it shows you that it went to the tops, the head people in the IRS, the head people in the FBI, the head people in the JOD, the CIA. It showed you all the names. Now, Mike Gill said right here on this radio program, he made the Pandora Papers. He met with Trump and gave them to Trump. Trump's got the Pandora. They know he does. That's why Hillary said, if Trump gets reelected, we're going to hang. We're going to hang. All that information you just mentioned about Epstein and all that is in the Pandora Papers.
Wow, Fisterney. Wow. That, from what you said, that $1 billion is like chump change.
Yeah.
From what's flowing through the Clinton Foundation and these other foundations. And where was the Clinton Foundation was based in the Ukraine.
Yep. So there you go. Yeah, you have.
Then, real quick, just back to issue one. I'm going to post the actual amendment on the website, but it basically removes parents' rights, allows abortion up to birth, and it removes women's health protections. And anybody that doesn't believe that, just go to Article 1, Section B, where it says the state shall not directly or indirectly burden, penalize, prohibit, interfere with, or discriminate against either the individual's voluntary exercise of this right or a person or entity. This is almost like giving Bill Gates immunity with all the vaccines.
Yeah. Well, you see, when you have that kind of money, it seems like you get
these things.
Yeah,
done.
Get to. But you know what? God's going to get you.
Yeah.
God is going to get you. Okay. All righty. Here, Wayne Root says this. If Trump doesn't win in 2024, he won't be just the last Republican president ever. He will be the last Republican, period. Okay, and this is by Wayne Root, and he from the Gateway Pundit. I don't think enough Americans understand the gravity of the situation we're in. We are facing the end of the GOP. We are facing the reality that, well, you know, all of these rhinos, I wish we could just expel them from the party and send them over to the communists where they belong. We are facing the reality that if Trump doesn't win in 2024, there will never be another Republican president. That is not a possibility. It is a certainty. But it's much worse than that. The Democrats in full control of power, there will never be a Republican again, period. With a one-party rule and the weaponization of the government in full force and censorship of dissent by media and social media in full force, with free speech being criminalized, as it is now versus Trump, against all American, with no opposition to communist Big Brother, government, being Republican or conservative or patriotic, will almost certainly be criminalized out of existence. Now, the end of America, American exceptionalism, the American dream, capitalism, and Judeo-Christian values will end forever. That is it. It's all over. The whole kit and caboodle, the whole kitchen sink, the whole enchilada, everything you know and love will be gone forever, including your children's future and their freedom. And once America goes, goes the world, and we are the last holdout, the last bastion of freedom and free speech and capitalism. The shining city on the hill. Without America leading the way, the rest of the world falls. It's Trump in 2024. It's over. It's darkness. It's Big Brother. It's slavery. And it's the end. And, you know, these people, all of those candidates that refused, the ones that said they refused to, if Trump was to, if they were to indict Trump, or those that refused to stand with Trump, I'm going to work against them, every one of them. I made up my mind, okay?
Yeah, I actually believe the Republicans are going to go the way of the Whigs. They're that bad.
It's not, this is much bigger than Trump. It's much, much bigger than Trump, okay? What they did, you understand, they took the person that you and I voted for.
Yeah.
They took the person that 88 million people voted for, and they said, we don't care what your votes. We don't.
It doesn't matter.
Your votes don't matter. You don't matter, okay? And if we don't put him back in to show him, yes, our votes do matter, then... Well, then our votes don't matter.
It's no need to go knocking door to door or doing anything because they've taken that away.
Well, the thing of it is, they're pushing for a civil war, and when it comes, they're not going to like it. Okay, there are those of us on what's called the far right, those that are actually the Christian patriots, true Americans. Then there's the hardcore communist, and all those apathetic in between. You know, when you're in the middle, you get shot at from both sides, huh?
Yeah, if you're in the middle of the road, you get run over.
Yep. How much time do I have? All righty. Okay. John, you've got 1 minute.
Okay, I think you've got a piece of very important information about the United States government and the CIA supporting actual Nazis in Ukraine. But this is a long story of the U.S. power structure supporting the rise of the Nazis. Then after the Second World War, bringing thousands of Nazis into the United States and institutions in the United States after the war, and they've been very active in Ukraine, nurtured and cultivated by the CIA for decades there, and all we had to do was tap them to overthrow the democratically elected government, at which you mentioned, in Ukraine in 2014, not by so much a color revolution, but a vicious, violent revolution, overthrowing the democratically elected government and putting these Nazis in key points in the government, the military, the organs of repression, and the secret police in Ukraine, where they're killing anyone who opposes this war that the United States government is supporting with hundreds of billions of dollars in deadly weapons. Well, we could use that money right here. And
you're right, John, but we're out of time. Everything you just said, we said back there when it first started, we were telling you back then what's really happening. People like us, Tucker Carlson, and some others were bringing this out. And, of course, people better wake up. Okay, I've got to go to John McTernan. John, you got about you got 6 minutes. Can you do it?
Well, I'm going to do it, Pastor Ernie. Let me know when there's a minute left.
All right, I will.
Okay, I want to share Luke 4:18 from the King James. And this is the ministry of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. Then there's a semicolon. So this verse is in two sections. The first is about eternal life, forgiveness of sin through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and eternal life. But then it goes on to say, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. The best way to understand the good news, the gospel, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loves you, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus Christ here, because he anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. This shows God's love. It proves God's love, that his love is resting upon, that's the gospel, it's resting upon you. Then it says that he sent his only begotten, that he gave his only begotten son. That is because Jesus Christ was the sinless, only begotten Son of God. He is the only one that could pay the penalty for our sin because he was without sin. He could save us because he was free from sin. So the way God set it up was that on the cross, Jesus took the penalty, that the just penalty for sin, he took in himself, and he paid the price through his shed blood so that we could have assurance of eternal life with God. So what it was a trade. Jesus took our sin, and his righteousness was imputed. It was put into us. Then he died, then he was buried, and he rose again bodily the third day. And because he rose from the dead, that's the assurance there will be a resurrection for everyone. And we will be, whoever passes away before Christ returns, will be resurrected because of their faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. But the second part is he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, America, there is an epidemic, a really bad problem with brokenheartedness. It's coming out many, many ways. Hopelessness. People are suffering from mourning, sorrow, and grief, and tremendous loneliness. Tremendous loneliness is kind of settling over America. But the good news is when Christ was sent, when God sent Christ for us, not only did he forgive us of our sin, but he wants to heal our broken hearts. The problem with depression, the problem with fear, the problem with loneliness, the problem with rejection, shame, and guilt, all rest somewhere in there is a broken heart, is a broken heart. And there is nothing in this world that can heal a broken heart. No psychiatry, psychology, their drugs or illicit drugs, no other religion. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the great physician. And as the great physician, he heals broken hearts. And the Bible says, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh.
1 minute, John.
So to be complete in Christ, there it is, confessing Christ, repentance, confessing that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sin, and that you believe he rose again from the dead. If you do that, you will have assurance of eternal life, and that he will, you ask him, and he will heal your broken hearts. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Well, you know, God always honors his commitment, don't he?
Always, Pastor Ernie.
And
always.
He's the only one we can absolutely positively trust 110%, folks. And again, that's it. And don't forget, this Sunday I'm going to be reading about the God's Word and why we can trust in it completely. Well, we're at that place that, very quickly. Hurry.
One thing I wanted to mention, if you guys have not seen 2,000 Mules, it's going to be on Twitter for free tonight and tomorrow. So just go to Twitter and look up 2,000 Mules.
Great. No, tonight. Alrighty.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we got to say good night. We got to say God bless. And we got to say always, always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.